All right, in chapter 2 of Jonah, we saw last chapter of way, the God's means of deliverance. Now in chapter 2, though, we have a little different in type. Jonah here, in chapter 1, we see Jonah as a rebellious old creation. In chapter 2, we see him as a type of Christ taking the place of the rebellious old creation. So here we see Jonah as a type of Christ in death, burial, and resurrection. After Christ's resurrection, the Jews, as a nation, still rejected their Messiah. They were still rebellious, and Jesus knew their rebellion. We read that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. They were rebellious of God's will and God's purpose. In Christ's resurrection, the Jew is, as a nation, provision, I should say, was that they could identify themselves with him as their resurrected God. But we know by history that they still rejected their Messiah. So he was sent to the Gentiles by means of preaching. So we have a beautiful picture there. Another type is Nineveh, is a type of the Gentile nations in the depth of wickedness. Now this is a state that you and I were in as Gentiles, weren't we? In a state of wickedness with no hope, no purpose. And we needed somebody. We needed a message that we could repent. A message of God's love. A message that he really cared for us. Then we have the fish as a type here. The fish is a type of death in which man is subject to if God doesn't intervene. But in order for God to intervene, he has to cry out to God for his help. So if he doesn't cry out to God, then there's no hope for him. There's no help. And Jesus experienced this death, and he took our sin in his own body. Another type we have in chapter 2 is the sea. It's a type of the unstableness of the world that's in sin. It was this kind of world that Jesus was crucified in. Both Jew and Gentile were responsible of putting him to death. The Gentiles would like to destroy the Jews, but they can't because God's not going to let them. We're not going to let them do that. Then the fifth type we have in here is Jonah, is also a type of Israel that hated the Gentiles and would like to see them destroyed. The sixth thing is deliverance is from God. He'll take Israel out of the Gentile bondage. And they will spew Israel out in the end time of their own land. And so we have all these pictures in Jonah. In this chapter, we read of the miraculous deliverance that God brought upon them. And though God called Jonah a dove by name, he was a rebellious dove, wasn't he? We don't see too many rebellious doves. So with Israel, God called them my people. My people. But his people today is still living in rebellion. And God has something prepared for them too. He has a judgment, a future judgment prepared for them. And just as the sea, they will be in captive to the nations and are captive to the nations. All of these up until today. That's the great fish that holds Jonah captive. And he brought out of the despair. And in verse 17, read it, it's in this position that the Jews will seek Jesus, their Messiah. There are times that God needs to get us in such a position too. Gets us in a place where we'll most gladly be obedient to what he's told us to do. Is there anything that he can't bring us to make us obedient? No, he has so many different ways. Sometimes he gets his people flat on their back in order for them to listen. But as I read this, I think it is so much easier to let him have his way. It's so much easier even in our flesh to say, yes, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. But people don't realize that. In verse 1, let's go ahead and read, I guess. Short chapter. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. God prepared a fish. Doesn't say it's a whale here, but Jesus made the statement that Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights. So shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth, the bowels of the earth. great fish. People say, well, it's impossible for a whale to swallow a man. Their mouth is too small, and if they were to, the stomach acid would have him dead before he could hit the bottom of it and so forth. But God prepared this fish just for Jonah. Do you think he'd prepare something for us if we're disobedient and rebellious just to bring us to where he wants us? Do you think he'd prepare a circumstance just because he loves me as an individual to bring me where he wants me, to cause me to say amen to his purpose and his will in my life? But in the depths of all of this, 3 days and three nights, so we see the type of Christ here, don't we? He was in the grave 3 days and three nights, like Jonah was in the belly of this great fish. Jonah prayed. What a condition. What a terrible condition. I think I would pray too. He should have prayed before this. Shouldn't have waited till he got there to pray. But Jonah prayed. Now we see Israel as a nation. They've been swallowed up by the Gentile nations as though they were in the belly of a whale for 2,700 years or so. But even more so, in the last days, they're going to feel pressure of this whale, this fish's belly. It's going to be like death. And it's like death to Jonah. In Jeremiah 51, verse 34, read that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, hath devoured me and hath crushed me. He hath made me an empty vessel. He hath swallowed me up like a dragon. He hath filled my belly with delicacies. He hath cast me out. Nebuchadnezzar coming was like the nation being swallowed up, wasn't it? And then in the same chapter, verse 44, Jeremiah says, and I will punish Baal in Babylon, and I will bring forth out of his mouth that which he had swallowed up, and the nations shall not flow together any more unto him. Yea, the wall of Babylon shall fall. Now we read there are six things that God's going to do to bring Israel out of being swallowed up. Babylon did some terrible things to Israel, but he's only representing of the end time nations. But God's going to have the nations to punish, and all the gods of the heathen is going to feel his punishment. And he's going to bring Israel out of their mouth, and there will be a resurrection for the nation Israel. And we see this beautifully. Matthew 12, 39 and 40. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah went down, Jesus went down. Jonas went as unto death, Jesus went into death. For what purpose? For Israel. He died for his people. He died for Israel. We Gentiles are just brought in because of resurrection, because of Israel's rebellion and destruction. So Jesus went down into death for Israel, and the same by resurrection, they could be a witness to the Gentiles. So we see this wonderful truth in Jonah. The same horrible death Jesus experienced. And he cried. And oh, what a cry that must have come from this man's lips as he was in the belly, depths of this fish's belly. In verse 2, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. And he heard me. Out of the belly of hell I cried, and thou hearest my voice. The reason for his cry was affliction. If there wasn't any affliction, would he have cried? It must have been hard to be in there in a stomach. And I've heard people say there must have been a lot of stomach acid and different other things in there, but it must have been hard. But the way of rebellion is a hard way. It's not an easy way. It's a lot easier to be obedient than it is to be rebellious. And he said, and I think there are several lessons that I can learn from this. One lesson I see in this is true affliction overwhelms us. Even though it overwhelms us, we know to whom we cry. And I've had people call on the phone I hadn't heard for years that was in trouble. They'd call, pray for me. They know who to cry. They knew who to call upon when they're in the depths of trouble. Another thing I see in this that I can learn is we know he'll hear when we cry. No matter where we are, no matter what the conditions are, no matter how dark it might seem, Jonah knew that God would hear him when he cried. Even if the outcome of our place means sudden death, he called us the belly of hell. I cried out of the belly of hell. How terrible this must have been. And another thing that I see in this is we realize that God is in everything and all is in his hands no matter what. If I was in this position, I'm sure the thing to do would be call, to cry. Not just pray, and I'm sure he did that, but to cry unto the Lord out of the belly of hell. For thou hast cast me into the deep, and in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All the billows and the waves pass over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Yet I will look again toward the holy temple. And to me, this is words of faith. Jonah realized that it was God who cast him into the sea, didn't he? It wasn't the sailors. Oh, they might have been their physical hands that picked him up and threw him. But he didn't give the sailors any credit for it. It was all God. And men can only do to us what God allows them to do. They can't go beyond that. And we need to realize this fact, that they can only go so far. And then God's going to put a stop to what they do. So we never blame people for the things that come into our lives. Never point your finger at somebody else and say, well, if they hadn't have done this, I'd be all right. If there's trouble in my life, I need to point my finger at me and find out what I did to cause the situation that I'm in. So we don't blame people, and neither do we blame God for our situation. There's only one person I can blame, and that's the fault that's in me. Can't blame you for my problems, and I can't blame God for my problems. I can only blame myself. And if the waves seem to be over our head, we just cry the louder and more earnest to him and cry unto him. In verse 4, then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. How often we think that we're out of God's sight and he doesn't hear. Have you ever cried out to the Lord for something and you didn't think he heard you? You didn't see any changes in the fact. Nothing happened. I'm still the same condition I've always been in. Did God really hear me when I cried? But we look unto him nevertheless, because we know he does. We know he hears us. Psalms 31, 21, 22. Beautiful along this line. Psalmist said, blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou hearest the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee. We know he hears us. It may seem like he doesn't, but we know he does. Verse 5, and the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depths closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down into the bottom of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. And oh, what a picture we have here of Jesus in his death and resurrection for us. How wonderful it is when he cried unto his Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he said, unto thee I commit my spirit. We have this beautiful picture of Jesus in the 18th Psalm too. And I'm going to read verse 15 and 16 of Psalms 18. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord. At the blast of thy breath, of thy nostrils, he said from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. The waters of death was round about Jesus as he tasted death for you and me. We have the same condition here, don't we? Waters of death. He died for every man. So will be for the nations that hate him too. They will be so overwhelmed like water, they're going to see a change. But as God drew Jonah and Jesus out, so will he do to Israel and to the nations that cry unto him. That's all he wants, is the cry. And you know, this is a secret that we need to learn. When you're in trouble, don't depend on people. It's good to call saints to pray for you, and I'm not saying that. But you need to use yourself to get alone with the Lord and cry. Shed some tears. Show earnestness that you really need his help. It's more than just praying. It's really crying unto the Lord. In verse 6, he said, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. That was pretty deep, wasn't it? To the bottom of the mountains. And the earth, let's see, the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Brought to a place of no hope whatsoever. And it's the place that God brings many people. We think we're low enough, or think we're down to the bottom, or think we're far down as we can go. Well, we still see another step downward here. We think we'd have to reach up to touch the bottom of the mountains. The mountains are, the bottom of them is above us, the earth's surface, but they're under the waters in which we know not the depths whatsoever. How deep can God take us before he delivers? I think that has a lot to do with our crying. How quick do we cry unto him? So reading this, I guess we have to say that there is no limit to where God will take one in order to change his life. In verse 7, when my soul fainteth within me, then I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto me, unto thee, unto thine holy temple. When the last of his life was departing, his last thoughts was, Lord, this is it. But it was then that his prayers came to God, right into his holy temple. And this is mystifying, because his holy temple was a long ways away from him, from where he was. And yet he knew where God was, that he was in his holy temple. In these last two verses that we read here, we can see the two creations so vividly here. It is from this old creation God wants man to forsake. Let's read the last two verses. They that observe lying vanities forsake your own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation is unto the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah out into a dry ground. God wants man to forsake his way of life and have a new purpose. And a new purpose is offer himself as a sacrifice and a praise of thanksgiving. Now, as we look at this, he was still in the whale's belly, and there was still no hope. So I read this, and I could see only faith being manifested here. Because he gives God a promise. He gives God a vow in these verses. He is to have a hope, even where he is. It's more than just a promise here to God. It's the work of God in him that would cause him to say, this is what I'll do when I get out. And we look at a trial, we look at a situation that we're in, and we say, Lord, this is what I want to do when I'm through this trial. I want to give myself wholly to you. I want to give you my whole life because you brought me out. You brought me through the situation that I found myself in without any hope. There was nobody to help me. Only you, Lord, and you brought me through it. I like this verse 10. After this repentance, after he had repented to God and made a vow, made the Lord simply spoke to the fish. Told he had to do, wasn't it? He just spoke to the fish. I don't know what he spoke. Maybe it was just one word. I don't know. But the fish was more obedient than Jonah, wasn't he? He vomited Jonah out. He might have wanted to get rid of Jonah too, might he? He really might want to get rid of him. Maybe he didn't want him in here. Maybe Jonah was causing so much trouble inside the fish that he was hurting too. Oh, if man would be that obedient though to God. How much suffering they would save themselves in life. How much hard work and how much heartaches that they could save themselves if we just be obedient. Well, that's the end of the chapter.